2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. KSL News Time is 6 o'clock. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story this hour.
Police are gathering information on two auto pedestrian crashes along the Wasatch Front over the last 24 hours. One was fatal. The other potentially involves a school crossing guard.
We start our team coverage with KSL News Radio's Adam Small covering the fatal crash in Salt Lake City. Adam?
Yeah, Amanda. Right now, we don't know much about the victim, but police say this was the 24th person in Salt Lake City to lose their life in a traffic incident this year. Detective Ben Nielsen tells KSL it appears a pickup truck was turning on from 13th South onto 21st East when it hit the victim.
We believe that they were in the crosswalk when this happened. Driver's on scene. He is complying. He's cooperating with the investigation.
Salt Lake City police say the victim was taken to the hospital where they eventually passed away. We're still waiting for more details from police, but a witness named Brooklyn tells KSL.com the victim looked like a young girl. Reporting live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
At nearly the same time as the fatal accident in Salt Lake City, two people were hit by a car near an elementary school in Orem. KSL News Radio's Allie Litzinger continues our team coverage. Allie?
Tim, we don't know much yet, but from what we do know, Orem police confirmed an adult and a child were hit, but witnesses are saying the adult was a crossing guard. A witness told KSL-TV that it was in a school zone and the 20-mile-per-hour lights were flashing. Vera Varr lives nearby and says accidents are common at this intersection.
This corner has been such a tragedy for many people. Many accidents happen here. This intersection is a death threat to many people here who's driving by.
Orem police said the child was taken to the hospital by family members and the adult was taken by ambulance. We don't know their conditions yet. We'll get you more information as it becomes available. Reporting live, Allie Litzinger, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. The House voted to block a strike by the nation's railway workers and give the workers 7 days of paid sick leave under a new contract. Now those bills go to the Senate. National president of the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers, Dennis Pierce, says not having paid sick leave was why workers rejected the original deal.
The challenge there is the impact of the supply chain, as fragile as it is coming out of the pandemic. That's why I'm convinced that Congress felt the obligation to step in because of how critical rail shipments are to the supply chain.
President Biden says he wants the bills on his desk by this weekend to make sure a rail worker strike does not happen.
A solution could be in the works for drinking water problems in Jackson, Mississippi, that started all the way back in August when heavy rains damaged the water treatment system. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland says a federal court has signed off on appointing a federal water manager.
As the residents of Jackson know all too well, the August failure occurred after years of problems with the water system.
Federal litigation against the city has now been put on hold for 6 months to give the city time to act and fix those problems.
University of Idaho students gathered last night for a vigil honoring their four classmates who were mysteriously stabbed to death this month. Meanwhile, the investigation into the brutal murders continues.
We take pride. We love what we do. We're passionate about that.
The local police chief, James Fry, getting emotional in his first sit-down interview since the murders, saying his mission is to find the killer. He did not reveal why investigators have said they believe this was a targeted attack, and he did not say if a victim or the house was targeted.
We're painting a picture, and we're trying to see what pulled the pieces into that picture, and that takes time.
Police initially said there was no imminent threat to the community, but later walked that back.
ABC's Andrea Fujii reporting.
Garfield County wants to strengthen its year-round tourism by suggesting a change to the calendar. Here's Hugo Rickard-Bell.
After resident surveys and in-person stakeholder meetings, the Garfield County Office of Tourism has determined that expanding the summer months to include March and November would help increase tourism in the county. Specifically, this study addresses the costs and enthusiasm with expanding this timeline. You can read more if you visit the Garfield County website.
Garfield County would like to establish partnerships with local business and the state to help promote this plan.
First look traffic now, and here is Andy Farnsworth.
Well, so far, so good, especially if you're traveling south through Davis County, and especially if you're trying to get between Roy and Kaysville. Of course, yesterday was such a nightmare, but today it's been looking really good. In fact, I don't even see any slow spots at any of the gates to Hill Air Force Base, anything beyond the ordinary right now. And that's sort of the story, Salt Lake Valley as well. Some traffic increasing, but nothing to slow you down. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL News Time, 6:05.
A former NFL player is facing a felony charge after police say he took a suitcase that wasn't his. Major Kelly Collier is the Atlanta Police Department's airport precinct commander.
Mr. Parms retrieved a bag that was not his bag from the carousel. He then took that bag to the restroom, where he went inside that bag and removed a charging cord from that bag. He then placed that bag on a different carousel.
Police say that Parms had no flight ticket or boarding pass on him. Parms denied the charges.
Just to steal a charger? That's very strange.
Yeah.
A busy day ahead in Boston for Britain's Prince William and his wife Kate on the second day of their U.S. trip. This is their first visit to the States in 8 years.
Sitting courtside, the lighting dimmed in Celtics green, Prince William and Princess Kate taking in a Boston Celtics game on day one of their visit to the city, arriving on a British Airways flight from London after mingling with fellow passengers. They're here on a three-day trip leading up to the ceremony for the Earthshot Prize, an organization founded by William that champions environmentalism.
William and Kate continue their visit to Boston today, and tomorrow, by coincidence, they'll meet with President Biden, who'll be visiting for a separate event to that city.
ABC's Derek Dennis reporting.
I was so sad to hear this yesterday. A classic rock legend has passed away. Fleetwood Mac singer, songwriter, and keyboardist Christine McVie was 79 years old.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies, tell me lies. Oh, no, no, you can't disguise.
That's Little Lies from Fleetwood Mac's 1987 album Tango in the Night. McVie won 2 Grammys and, of course, was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the rest of Fleetwood Mac.
That was one of my first concerts I ever saw, was Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, they were
so good. 1977, something like that, in the Miami baseball stadium.
She sort of took a back seat. You know, Stevie Nicks was out there in front for so long, but I didn't realize until all of the coverage yesterday afternoon her impact as a songwriter to Fleetwood Mac. Many of their hits, she either co-penned or wrote herself.
Yeah, she was an extraordinary person. I saw Stevie Nicks' social media post yesterday saying, my best friend since 1975 I lost.
Yeah. They asked her one time how much she missed touring, and she said she missed it greatly, but there was only one band she had any interest in touring with, and that was, of course, Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.